The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here. I analyze this. Some programming notes for tonight on Channel 12, the flagship. We got the PBS News Hour from 7 to 8 p.m. And then at 8 p.m., Nature. Meet the many species of remarkable rabbits and the scientists working to save them from extinction. That's from 8 to 9. Then at Nova, explore the benefits and drawbacks of AI and what lies ahead. So artificial intelligence will be a topic of discussion on Nova tonight from 9 to 10 p.m. And then American Masters from 10 to 11:30. Explore Helen Keller's career and explore how she used her celebrity to advocate for human rights. That's from 10 to 11:30. And then Anne Morrow Lindbergh comes on from 11:30 to take us up to and past the midnight hour. Don't forget the news feed with Marcelina Ventura Douglas, your source for stories that matter. And weekdays at 5 p.m. here on 93.1 WTJX NPR. And of course, you know, we got Tom Ader, who is a part of our WTJX family, you know, with the comprehensive stories to complement the news feed. So I want to thank Ms. Kiana Tung from UVA, the Summer Bridge Program. Now we're going to transition to greater changes. We got Dr. Tariq McMillan here in the studio, along with
Tamara Mohammed.
Pull that mic a little closer and speak directly into it.
Tamara Mohammed.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
First time here?
Yeah.
Glad to have you on.
Appreciate it.
That's what I'm talking about. Tariq, what are you saying?
Pretty good. How about you?
A frequent visitor, at least.
Yeah.
You like it up in this joint?
Yeah.
Good to see you. Oh, mommy.
She good.
I was talking to your dad, and I was bragging about you. I tell you, man, your son, man, he's deep. You know what I'm saying? He was proud of you. You know what I'm saying?
Excellent.
Yeah, pull that mic up, man. You know what I'm saying? So we good. So, mental illness, or what are we talking about? Wellness? Because we don't want to make it too narrow. We like to let people know that, you know, our scope is broad and inclusive, right? I think that's what we're...
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, I think even...
Before we get to that...
Yeah.
Ms. Mohammed... tell us about her and what she's going to bring to the conversation today.
Well, so Ms. Mohammed is not the, she don't like to brag, but.
She's going to get her flowers on this show.
She absolutely will.
If she's dope like that, then she's going to get them.
Tamara Mohammed is a clinical director and co-owner of Greater Changes.
That's what I'm talking about.
She is probably one of the most fundamentally sound clinicians I've ever worked with in my life. And I work with quite a few clinicians. She licensed professional counselor in the Virgin Islands. She's licensed in a few different places. She won't say it, but I will. She managed a team of about 25 different clinicians for a major insurance company that coordinated care for about 400,000 members for a company. You know, so a pretty big deal. She knows her stuff. She's worked in a lot of different fields. And that's as far as I go. And I'll let Tamara go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a counselor.
Where are you from?
I'm from here. It's a Crucian.
Wanawi, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm talking about it. Wanawi. That's why I'm talking about B-A-H-N, Ban, right? Yeah. Mohammed, by bought or by married?
By bought. Yeah, Mr. McMillan is my husband.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, see, I'm holding out on the boy, you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm talking about. Like this, yeah, you check what I'm saying? So... it's all good. Of course, you know, I'm a history major, so names and all that stuff spark a lot of questions. So we'll get to that at the appropriate time. Which school you went to?
I went Complex and I went Free Will. So
Okay. That's what you're talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? A Complex graduate?
No.
Free Will graduate.
Mm-hmm. What year? I had a class of like 14. I graduated in 2000.
I graduated from class of 20. You know what I'm saying?
So
with that, you know what I mean? Say Dunstan's, you know what I'm saying? Way back in the day, you know what I mean? Okay, Free Will. Okay. And then from there, Where'd you go?
I went to Barry University for undergrad in Miami Shores.
Miami Shores.
And then I moved to Orlando, and they had a satellite campus in Orlando, so I did my master's there.
Okay.
So I've been in the Orlando area, and I'm like back and forth between Orlando and here.
Okay. Cohabitated.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Greater changes. What prompted that?
Greater changes. Greater changes is a mashup of like our passion. I was doing work primarily in Florida, working with clients there. I've worked like inpatient and private practice and community behavioral health, and I feel like Tariq had made a post online about something about mental health, and I was like, oh, I like this vibe, let's connect. And we start, and we just never stop. This passion for creating a safe space for folks here, and providing services that honored culture, that's always been a really important thing for us. So I think it's the honoring of culture that really prompted us to
pull the microphone up a bit more.
Start working together.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. Now, in this environment, opening a business isn't necessarily pralines and cream. There's a lot of rocky roads, and I'm using my basket rabbits analogies here. What's it like being a business owner at this particular point? You know, we got energy costs, different things that impact cost of not only living but running an operation.
It's challenging. I think it's on two different fronts, right? There's the overhead cost of trying to manage a business, right? Mm-hmm. We had a little bit of a break from that way COVID, because we weren't doing a lot of face-to-face, so most of our work was virtual, so we didn't have a lot of the overhead costs. Now that we jump back into doing the face-to-face, it's impact. But on the other hand, one of the challenges is coming in as a local, as a younger person, and not being seen as knowledgeable enough. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's on two fronts.
I think it's experience. I don't think it's a knowledgeable thing. I just think you haven't had the experience because you haven't been in the business realm for 20, 30 years like somebody else may have. Yeah, because knowledge is a capacity thing, you know what I'm saying? So.
Right. Okay. I mean, and I can see that. I've been in the game for a little bit, but.
I see the lingo talk, been in the game.
No, but there's definitely been times where, like, not the experience, but, like, the knowledge, like, actual knowing how to do the work has been questioned.
Yeah.
So it really did take a lot of just taking some blows and ensuring people that, you know, you could stay in the fight.
Mm-hmm. So while I'm talking to you, it dawned on me that y'all are in the business of trying to get people to not think of the most extreme behaviors and reactions, right? Because one of the issues, we had a conversation about suicide at one point. That's the most extreme, right? We want folks, you know, everyone to think that it's never as great as it is on your best day, and it's never as bad as it is on your worst, right? You're trying to keep people centered, right? You're in that business, but you have to be concerned about your mental being as well.
Most definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So talk about that balancing act, you know, because you might have, you're human like everybody else. You have challenges, you have issues, family, things happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that could impact performance. And there are those who are depending on you to provide a service to them, to level them off, because they have some issues that they're dealing with as well.
Yeah, most definitely. You talk about that, and immediately I think about a time in my life where I had to step back from counseling for a little while. I had to take a 1-2 year hiatus.
Right, that's
you know?
What I'm talking about.
I had experienced like one loss after the other, and it got to the place where like my clients were coming in and they were all dealing with grief. And it was like, you know what? It's my ethical duty to make sure that I could show up the best that I can for the clients that I serve. And if right now I ain't in the space to best serve them, I'm going to send them someplace where they could be better served and I could take care of me, you know? I feel like it's our ethical duty to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves to be able to show up the way we need to for our clients.
Mm-hmm. You could harp on that.
Yeah. I think, yeah, like what Tamara's saying, like it is an ethical, and it's a weird place to be in, because on one hand, taking a step back, having the privilege to take a step back and say, I won't do this work right now because I'm not my best. That's one situation. But the other situation is, I might be in a space where I'm not in the best place to do this work, but I can't afford to not work. You know, like, this is the thing that, mm-hmm. that makes a mm-hmm. living for me. It's a real weird balance to kind of have to maintain. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, being able to have somebody where, like, I think this is kind of rare, like, being able to have a partner where, like, when the day is done, we're able to talk about the day. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times, like, you might go home to your spouse and talk about the day, but, like, there's a missing piece that they haven't been there all day in the same kind of trenches with you to understand the same kind of fight. So having that space to decompress is really helpful.
So is there a need for forced downtime so that you can recalibrate?
Yeah, we have to take a break. Like, definitely have to take a break. And a lot of times it is difficult. It is difficult to take a break. There's been times where I know that I need to go to sleep. I need to take a pause. But mm-hmm. you know, you get a phone call and you know you have to leave the house and help somebody navigate something. Like, that's just the nature of the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here on St. Croix, the majority, if not all, your clients are on St. Croix right now.
The majority, but we also have an office in Florida.
What's the biggest challenges right now in St. Croix based on, you know, the clientele, what they're, without giving away what they personally are experiencing, but just in general, what are you seeing that is most prevalent for us non-trained folk like yourself that is going on that we can't see?
So I think there are several answers to that.
Well, it was a loaded question.
So one of the things, and we talked about stigma, mm-hmm. the last few times I was here, there are some people who, in an effort to avoid being labeled as somebody with anxiety, somebody with depression, somebody who's been to counseling, like, they won't even seek treatment, right? So you have this issue that's been, like, ignored largely, and it's affecting daily functioning, but they're continuing to they're pushing through. You know, you mix that with a culture that puts a premium on being able to fight through everything, and then you have somebody spending 20, 30 years experiencing depression or anxiety and not even having the language to define what's going on. That's one of the things. And when you look at the way we talk about people who are going through an issue, you know, like, it's one thing for me to try to avoid the label. That's more of an internal thing here. But when you have people who, you know, they call them soft because they have anxiety attack, or they call them soft because it's difficult to get out of bed, you know, like that's so much pressure. So there's a few other issues. I'll let Tamara.
Yeah, no, I think what is the biggest is stigma, and the internalizing of those labels. There is a lot of work that's done with clients, at least, you know, from my perspective and my experience, on finding the language and normalizing and validating the emotional experience, and challenging those labels that they've internalized from what they've heard, what they've learned growing up. So I think right now that presents as the biggest challenge.
and keep
for,
that in
for
mind.
Our population, is the number too big in terms of those who are going through these challenges, based on what you're saying?
I think the way to look at that is the number of clinicians that we have is too small.
That's it. That's like, should we multiply or should we divide? You know what I'm saying?
The interesting thing is that
you're saying, you know, the ability for us to address that population that needs help, the number isn't there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there are circles where like that's something that's denied. Specifically in the behavioral health field, where there are people who feel, you know, we have enough clinicians. Like, what do you mean we need more? We talked about that the last time.
Yeah, that's a political thing. we can get into that. There's nothing wrong with that. But is it because of finances? From the standpoint that those who are denying your perspective, because you're of the belief that we need more clinicians,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're saying that there are those who believe we have enough.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there a disconnect there? Well, why do you think that is? Are we lacking the data?
That's one of the issues. Mm-hmm. That's one of the issues. I think there.
Because once we get the numbers, then they could say what they want. You know, we could present that documentation and then divide it into the population of people who are in need.
Yeah, I mean, and there are some numbers, right, but coming from outside. Like, mm-hmm. we are a health professional shortage area when it comes to behavioral health, as well as a couple of other...
It's across the medical spectrum, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah.
It isn't just behavioral health.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And so there's an official designation for us right now. We're a health professional shortage area. So we need professionals. We need more providers.
Let me write that down. No, I'm serious. I want to make sure that, you know, I could reach for this when I have any conversations down the road. We're a health professional shortage area.
Yeah.
Then that's the actual designation.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a documented shortage. Need for more providers. And at the end of the day, like, I'm not the best provider for every client that walks in the door that calls our office, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that applies to every provider on the island. You're not the best provider for everybody. You can't solve everybody. You can't address every issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need a variety because people need different specializations. They need people to have more training in a different area. Somebody to do more testing or, you know, yeah. So we need more. We need more variety, diversity in skill sets and training and background.
Have you had a conversation with the university to find out what the deal is?
Well, so there's...
Don't be afraid to tap into... I'm speaking from an adult, speaking to you young people, because I consider you young. You know, I might look like 25, but you know, I'm not. No, just teasing, right? But I'm also in the encouragement business because I love... young intellect.
Mm-hmm.
It's a proud moment for me. You know what I'm saying? Because we need, you know, we need folks like yourself out here, you know, making an impact, and so that communication has to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I won't make it seem like it's all doom and gloom, right? Because there is beautiful things happening.
Man,
there's beautiful things happening.
Yeah.
I also serve on the counseling board. So I'm vice chair of the board of licensed counselors and examiners, right? So mm-hmm. our whole job is to protect the public and regulate, essentially like regulate the profession, mm-hmm. right? And we're doing a lot of work to introduce amendments to our current code, right, that would wow. allow for more folks in that are locally trained, locally educated, that have graduated from UVI to be able to get the experience that they need and get licensed. So there's beautiful things in the works. It's just you gotta go through the process.
We're talking with Tariq McMillan and Tamara Mohammed. They are health professionals in the what would you describe this area? The business.
The behavioral health field.
Behavioral health. Behavioral health. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist, I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Back here, we're talking with behavioral health professionals, Dr. Tariq McMillan and Ms. Tamara Muhammad. Greater Changes is their entity here in the territory. So,
well, before you go, so yeah. Not a doctor yet. I've got to make sure we make that distinction.
No,
not yet.
When? Dr. To be?
Dr. To be.
That good?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll call him Tariq McMillan for now. So Tariq McMillan and Tamara. So you actually studying right now? You're actually in class?
No, not yet. So the plan is to start next year.
You're starting in 25?
Yeah. Yeah.
Virtually or?
It'll be virtually. Mm-hmm. So actually, where I wanted to go initially, I wanted to do clinical psychology.
Mm-hmm.
But after doing...
You're a graduate of where? Because we know of Barry here in Miami Shores and all that stuff. But
Duquesne University.
Duquesne, Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Duquesne.
No, I'm just joking. It's Duquesne. People see it.
And
you
get, yeah, because it looks strange.
Yeah.
But after doing the work and realizing that there's so much more to the field than the therapy aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the issues, it's more of a public health issue. Right, and so where I view the direction I want to go in to make the most change is a combination of public health and systems change.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we look at the entire system and then implement the things that we need? The work that we've done over the last few years, initially I thought it was just like we need to get more counselors, and that's one part of it. Right, but we need the public health campaigns. We need, and not just the thing that says this is anxiety and this is what it looks like and this is depression, but talking to somebody about the difference between what may look like an addiction to cannabis that's actually an addiction to tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we make public health campaigns that look that way? That talk about, you know, like, you know, sure, you've been doing this. Just to bring it to people in a way that's completely understandable and address the bigger issue.
That's what I'm talking about. So, I want to have a political discussion here. And I want the foundation to be based on assumption. So, Ms. Muhammad, your name alone automatically begs some questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that impacts us here in the territory, right? I have a show on Mondays with former senators, and one of the things that we talk about very frequently is what's taking place in the Middle East, right? And how it impacts us here in the territory, because we do have a population here that their ethnic roots is from the Middle East, right? Jordan, Palestine, what have you. You're Muhammad? So explain that part there. So if I don't want if I'm wrong, that's mm-hmm. why I said assumption. Explain that part there for me.
Muhammad. So my family is actually from Trinidad.
Oh, Trinidad. Okay, yeah, Trinidad.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. I like that. So you ain't a part of that.
I ain't a part of that, but okay. I understand oppression, you know.
Yeah, so I that's what I want to talk about, right? Because we're talking behavioral science here, right? And this thing is affecting us, a number of us, who have no relatives over there. We're looking at the news. I got a friend of mine, Salomon Kalen from Futong. Mm-hmm. Right, that's down the road from Irick. I didn't kind of hear in Five Corner, right?
Why
are they?
We didn't Frederickstead.
Frederickstead, okay. Yeah. And so he said Neville. This is October when the incident happened with Hamas and all that stuff. He said the thing that you need to focus on is the media and how the media could influence how people look at things, right? And iodine behavioral science. And one of the things, like we talk about stigma, one of the things that y'all, I'm sure, are aware of and are looking at is how people react to how they process what they see and how they may be looked at externally and all that stuff. Talk a little bit about how we need to get folks to be able to arrive at their own conclusions and not be influenced by, you know, things outside of what they have control of. In other words, if you could read, write, and you get education, then you have that ability. But there are those who are dependent on people to process things for them, sometimes to a fault. So how do we get people to be more confident? And I guess self-esteem is what I'm talking about here for the most part.
Well, so I think there's two parts to this. I think the first part is having the understanding that we need to have higher social media literacy. We have spent the better part of a decade consuming more information than we have for the last 40 years. Like, at no other point in life have we been able to grasp and consume this much information. And these social media platforms are driven by how long we stay on the platform. Those are the things that drive their algorithms and then in turn echo into us staying on longer.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have to consider confirmation bias. Right, so you see a thing that lines up with something that you already believe in. It's much easier to keep on believing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the direction is to be able to have people come to their own conclusions more frequently. One of the things that stands out to me most, I remember when I was in maybe elementary school, and I guess throughout. Elementary, middle school, and high school, when you do the questions at the end of the chapter, the first three are like these summarization questions, and what's the definition of this, and then the last question is like a critical thinking question, and it asks you to really dig into the information and understand the implication of something. And I remember teachers always saying, you don't have to do those. And I think at some point, like something clicks, mm-hmm. and if you don't work that critical thinking muscle, it goes away like anything else. So I'm not sure what the direction is, but when we look at, I think a part of the solution might be how do we craft information that's, one, accurate. How do we make sure that there's the guidelines in place for people to understand, at the very least, this is accurate information, and then you come to your own opinion after that.
Yeah. So how do we get, Ms. Muhammad, how do we get folks to, and this isn't just for clients, this is for the general population, how do we get them to be confident enough in themselves to arrive at solid conclusions and not feel inclined from a peer pressure standpoint to go along just to get along?
Go along just to get along. I think that's survival for some people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that Tariq was talking about with these public awareness campaigns go beyond behavioral health, right? Teaching the skills, right? Giving people the actual resources to feel like they can find the actual information out there. Earlier today, I was scrolling on social media, and I had seen a post. Somebody had mentioned something about apple cider vinegar. And then I saw somebody comment and was like, well, don't use this one because in is GMO, in organic. Mm-hmm. And they gave a resource, right? Video. Mm-hmm. So I went and I watched a video. And the video sound kind of like out there. So then I went to do my own research, right? Is what they're saying true? And it turns out it wasn't actually true. Right. So then I like jumped back in and I was like, hey, I had believed that too when I first saw this video, but like just dig a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's giving people those tools, right, to believe that they can dig deeper, that they don't have to take your word as gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, you must embrace this adage. Everyone entitled to their own opinion, but they're not entitled to their own facts, right?
Right.
What you just explained is a classic example of that, mm-hmm. right? Where people are telling you what they believe might be accurate,
mm-hmm.
but then you did your own research and you came to find out that it's not necessarily the case.
Right.
So that's not only a skill, that's a willingness on your part. To really dig deep to find out, you know, let me see if this thing are really true, because it might look true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then you come to find out, it ain't like that.
Right. And misinformation is sometimes disguised as fact.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if nobody told me that sometimes it could sound true, but it isn't really, mm-hmm. then I would not think to ever. I would have just been like, well, that's a resource right there. It's mm-hmm. a website. There you go. You know?
No, I know that tonight we got artificial intelligence coming up tonight, I believe, is at 9 o'clock. Let me see. 27. Let me see. At Nova, explore the benefits and drawbacks of AI and what lies ahead. As a behavioral health professional, artificial intelligence is some... When I hear it, I tend to be a little skeptical. You know, I mean, just on the surface. You know, I'm old-fashioned. You know what I'm saying? Like the cell phone is real good at helping me do math problems, but I enjoy racking my brain to because I need that personal validation that my brain is still functioning, because we're dealing we're in a time now where dementia, right, is way more prevalent than we ever knew it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time. And it's a fear for a lot of us, you know, who are obsessed, you know, with not losing those those brain skills. So talk about how we do this balancing act, because you're hearing artificial intelligence, which sounds like a shortcut, but it's actually ingenious at the same time. It could be both. So how do we go about balancing old-fashioned with continuous technological advancement?
So for me, I'm in a very interesting position.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to artificial intelligence, I am a fan. I marvel at what can actually be done with this technology.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that there are people who have the resources to use it for, who have ill intent, right?
Yeah.
But how I've seen it be used, I remember when the first version of ChatGPT launched, I think about 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I didn't get it at first. I was like, oh, let me play with it, let me figure it out. And then when you compare what that technology can do just 2 years later, I mean, being able to write proposals, being able to pull data and look at interpretations and be able to have more data-driven decisions based off of the technology. Now, I do think that there's a value in being able to, like you said, like rack your brain around a thing.
Mm-hmm. But there's a time variable that that you can't ignore.
You can't, because there are things
that you get with the artificial intelligence or technology in general.
Absolutely, because there are things that what once took Tamara and I 2 weeks, we could get done in an hour.
Yeah, man.
You know, so being able to shorten that loop and get more work done,
mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
There are definitely places. So I have a limit. That this isn't necessarily my wheelhouse. My younger brother actually, that's his wheelhouse.
See, Nico.
His company actually like is focused on implementing AI and education policy.
Yeah, no, but I'm just talking about behavior though. You know what I'm saying? Where you just mentioned something that you're dealing with that's a real time thing that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where and as a business operator, mm-hmm. right? That is beneficial. From a time standpoint,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? If I come to you Monday and without artificial intelligence, you tell me, well, like, check me next week Friday, right? And then, now with artificial intelligence, you're telling me check me by 12.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
come on now.
A huge difference. Yeah,
that's a reality that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Right?
And the individual like level, like client-wise, I've had clients that use platforms like ChatGPT to create like journaling prompts, mm-hmm. you know, and it'll prompt them for like daily journal entries. Like it's really useful for the day to day, and working on like personal growth and development and overall wellness.
Yeah, that's good. But I got proof in front of you right there now, right? The modern day Android, right? And then the modern day Android, but yo, I went back to the flip, right? So, you know what I'm saying? So when it first started, it was flip business. Now we've cycled our way back, mm-hmm. right? Which is behavior again.
Absolutely.
You check what I'm saying? So that's what we're talking about here. Now, one of my listeners sent me a real cool statement. He says, sometimes, I guess it was dovetailing off of what you said, sometimes when you evaluate things and draw your own conclusions based on facts and logic, you get branded, right? So you were talking about stigma, right? Now, some people, you know, based on what you just did, you know, they might be offended by the fact that you went and did your own thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. She don't believe me or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. I've been blocked on pages before because I challenge misinformation.
Yeah.
I try to do it in a respectful way.
But you could challenge rightful information too. Mm-hmm.
There's
nothing wrong with that because, you know, maybe we could get something from that. That will actually take it to the next level.
Yeah.
You're not saying it's wrong. You're just saying, well, wait a minute. Context, right? Mm-hmm. People tend to take, that's a lot of T's, right? People tend to take context for granted, but it's very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the contextual foundation for why someone might believe what they believe at that particular point or on a subject matter should be a variable that we respect.
I feel like
everything isn't black and white. There's a lot of gray in between.
I would do. It'd be an injustice, I think, if I came here and didn't talk about, since we're done on the topic of like challenging things. I would involve another history one. I remember back to 2017 when myself and a group of others challenged the idea that the centennial was anything to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some people who at the time was like, oh, I understand that. But there were others who was like, what do you mean we ain't celebrating this? This mm-hmm. is culture. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for so long now. Mm-hmm. You know, but the idea that you get a group of people to celebrate the transfer from one colonial power to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think these are the some of the things that go unnoticed. Like it's not codified in our laws, but our governor wears the chain that has the colonial flags on it.
You're talking about like when he gives a state of the territory?
Yes, and those things are completely contrary to self-determination. You know, so when we talk about challenging things, like these are the kind of things that we have to talk about.
Yeah. Some people look at that symbolism as power though. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that's, but that's why mm-hmm. I'm talking about context, right?
Yeah.
How people view things. So we're good there. We got a Dr. Toby.
Yes.
Tariq McMillan and his better half, Kamara Mohammed, joining us this morning. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Sagal, you spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Phones, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Listen to the latest news stories that matter with Marcelina Ventura Douglas. Weekdays at 5 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And I went back here and analyzed this. We're talking with behavioral health specialist Tariq McMillan and Tamara Mohammed. They are entrepreneurs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greater challenges, greater changes, I mean, done in the West. So, yesterday I had on Dr. Malik Sikou and a two-part conversation. Yes, it was the second part. The first part, since you went there, with the transfer, right? He actually kind of challenged me the first conversation because he said he don't like the idea of the purchase of the Virgin Islands, right? Which is the term they used back in 1917, right? And he said, so I don't use the word transfer. And I said, you know something, you're right. Because in the NBA, they don't have any owners anymore. The controlling entities in the NBA are now governors because when they use the term owners, it offended a significant member, a significant amount of players because the majority of the players in the NBA are players of color, and they are offended by the term of owners, which, you know, is, let's face it, that's slave talk from back in the day, right? So that's why I'm glad you went there, because that's another classic example of context.
Mm-hmm.
You check what I'm saying? Now, the thing with the governor, right? I never looked at it like how you just looked at it, but you know, there's some legitimacy in what you're saying contextually.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're talking about chains, right? And let's face it, that was a symbolic example of how our ancestors from back in the day had to deal with. You know what I'm saying? No, I could make a counter argument though, and that's where I want to go, right? There was a time when our governors were appointed.
Mm-hmm.
That's no longer the case. We get to vote for that now. You know what I'm saying? So there has been, you know, some strides. Is it perfect? Not even close.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And you know how we challenge that, and this is where I think y'all gonna enjoy this and come in. Education.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what we need to promote more than anything. Yeah. So we also need to let folks know you could be too educated in a certain subject to the point where you could be condescending when you're talking to people because you believe that you know everything,
mm-hmm.
when in fact that you don't. And that's another behavioral issue. That's why management and knowing how to finesse things and reading a crowd, reading your location presence is important, Ms. Mohammed. You can't apply the same mentality everywhere you go to everyone you speak to.
Mm-hmm. You gotta read the room.
Yeah, right? That's a term. Yeah, man.
Yeah. but also like humility, like approaching every situation with curiosity and humility, right? And I think that's what we try to do in our work,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's with clients or just as entrepreneurs and partners. You know, like, let me try to understand where you're coming from so I could present my information to not as this expert, right? But just sharing.
Know it all.
Yeah. But more of a sharing and an exchange. If we could approach a lot more of these situations as an exchange,
mm-hmm.
It'd be different.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
It isn't just different. We want it to be different and good,
mm-hmm.
right? So yourself, you know, you did the Duquesne thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And then when you went up there, you spoke the Yankee twang because, you know, we could do that. We could do that here.
Yeah.
So you assimilated real good. But did you find out that people like to hear that West Indian lingo when if you force me, you get me upset, and then I got to reach back for my natural ability to communicate.
So
from a behavioral standpoint.
Well, what ended up happening? So I'm very extremely mild mannered. So it takes a lot to even get me mm-hmm. really riled up in that way. But what I did learn.
So what would cause you to reach back for the local twang, the beautiful Caribbean lingo, West Indian lingo? Since you're.
Man,
Me, no, he'd keep his cool.
Well, that means I can't go worry about them.
Because for me, a lot of times, like I've seen so many, I've seen so many situations escalate to a place where it just didn't need to go because one person's inability to regulate their emotions. So that's always in the back of my mind. I'm not sure where this person's willing to take it. So why even take
that? Oh, okay, yeah. I understand. Oh, so that's like a mechanism that you got in place then. Yeah.
Plus, a lot of times, like, when...
That was pre-studies, or you've always been
This is a feel like teaching. This is how like, I learned to really look at life. And mm-hmm. I wasn't always this way. Granted, like, growing up, like, I had a temper and I could get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I've never gone so far and then I like end up like making a horrible decision or anything. But I've definitely seen where when somebody is upset or somebody lose their cool, like I get extremely curious. Like what is going on?
What triggered that? You're asking yourself.
Yeah, like what triggered that
in that person?
Yeah, like what about what I just said? What about what this person said elicited such a response?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that I realize.
Is that a training thing or are you just a curious person?
Both.
And I'm forced to ask this question. I know that you guys typically are the ones that ask questions, but I gotta ask this question.
So interestingly enough, going back to what Tamara was saying about like the being curious,
mm-hmm.
it's not just about me asking questions. When I start my session, I always tell my client that this isn't my session. This is our time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're gonna lead this. I gonna contribute in the way I can with my expertise. You're the expert in your life. So let's create these goals and let's walk towards them together. And that's a completely different dynamic than the clinician telling you, you have anxiety and this is what you're going to do to address this issue.
Yeah.
You know, so when you give the person more autonomy to make the choices.
You're empowering them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's one of the pillars of greater changes.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you an example, right? You know, I'm a sports junkie. So I'm watching this clip with Roger Federer, right? At this point, he was winning literally every tournament. So the last major tournament of the year is the U.S. Open in New York. So when you win that, David Letterman, right? Great talk show, late night talk show. He'd invite you there and they'd bring the trophy out and all that stuff. So I'm watching this guy and he is the coolest thing on the tennis court. And he never gets upset. So he's having this conversation with David Letterman, and he said in so many words his career took off when he stopped getting upset. He used to throw rackets on the ground and all that stuff, right? And I was like, wait a minute, this dude's the coolest thing, always composed, which is actually in competitive sports an asset, mm-hmm. right? You never get too high, you never get too low, all that stuff. So the reason why I ask the question is assumption. right? We watch people and we assume everything is all right, when in reality, it ain't all right, because things going on, but they have this ability to compartment their emotions and all that stuff. As a behavioral health professional, are you asking of your clients to come clean with me? Let me know what's going on, because you don't want to impose on their private, but at the same time, you don't want them to be misleading you. Mm-hmm. And that has to be a very delicate area that I have to deal with.
I think I'd approach it from a different perspective. I typically tell my clients that give me the opportunity to earn your trust.
Okay.
You know?
So you're in the building business first before you actually get into the communicating building.
For sure. Okay. For sure. I learned so much about you in trying to earn your trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you learn about me too, like my dedication to wanting to earn it and not expecting you to come and lay all your traumas down, you know? It'll take time. It'll take time to build that kind of rapport.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. So I didn't want them coming in thinking that I gonna fix their problems. It gotta be a joint.
Yeah,
it has to be a two-way street here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things that we'd say, somebody thief it from me though. but we'd tell them, like, I trying to work to help you gain the skills and the resources you need to be your own therapist, right? Mm-hmm. I walking myself out of a job.
Oh, to be your own therapist.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. I walking myself out of a job. Mm-hmm. You know, I want you to have these skills. I want you empowered, and I want you to go out there, and I want a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to see, observe, and I want them to interact with you and mm-hmm. be like, maybe I should go to therapy mm-hmm. too. I don't know.
Yeah. I would tease my previous guest. My engineer was laughing because she was yanking up a slam. Right, so I listening to your twang, right, and your ability to vacillate from corporate jargon to the local thing, you know, that's an asset.
We have a joke in a family, like the children that make fun of my Tammy voice, because I do, like, I have one for, like, I work in insurance in mm-hmm. the States for,
walk.
I work, right, I worked, and when I answer the phone, like, I did call center work, but from home, so it's like a virtual, a remote position.
Mm-hmm.
And I would finish telling the children something in a hallway, and I go into, and I log in, I get on the computer, and I was like, hi, thank you for reaching. This is Tammy, how can I help? You know? And I think the first couple of times Terry hear me do it, he was like,
who is that?
Who are you?
But ultimately, that's valuable.
Absolutely.
Because you're in the communications business.
Being able to jump in between, because one of the things that I really enjoy about the work is that sometimes a client would walk in, and they have this assumption of who I am already mm-hmm. because of their interactions with other clinicians in the mm-hmm. past, or just the health industry. We could mm-hmm. go into that about another time. But when they come in the room and I say morning, and like, oh, morning, yeah. You know, so like, yeah. like it creates this like this cultural familiarity
yeah.
that they just like, oh, well, I ain't 100% trust this person, but at the very least there's something there that says, okay, well, maybe let's try something.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you consider, like, sometimes, like, a lot of times I work with clients, they're referred through DHS. And a lot of these young men, like, they have locks in their head now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when they walk in my office and they see the locks, it's like, oh, that's one a week, man.
Yeah.
You know, let me talk a little bit. You know,
so I'm breaking a shield.
Yeah.
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 Let me ask this question. If the commissioner of education is the knock on your door one day and say, Mr. McMillan, Ms. Mohammed, if you were to give me one piece of advice so I could, as the head of the biggest agency in government, that I'm not only dealing with professionals, but I have a responsibility with students who are learning. If there was one piece of advice you would give me as it relates to my mental sanity so I could communicate better with these professionals and these learners and support staff, what would that be?
It would be two of them. It wouldn't be one. The first would be to assess the well-being of every single person that comes into contact with the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have good work being done in in an unhealthy environment. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that the entire department is unhealthy, but we know that people are stressed out. So how do we make sure that the mechanisms that need to be in place in any department, any agency, any organization is sustainable and healthy? That's the first thing.
Yeah, that's the second thing.
The second thing is be able to regulate yourself. Be able to take that step back and look at the situation, not from this is bothering me, but what would be happening that would elicit this response from this person?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the solution to most things.
Ms. Muhammad, what would be your response that isn't different from Mr. McMillan?
I mean, I agree with everything he said.
I knew that.
But I would also include trauma-informed practice training, like equipping not only staff but students with the skills to be trauma informed, you know, to be able to honor people and meet them where they're at, and consider that people have had different experiences, and we, you know, not tread lightly in the, you know, being too sensitive and too cautious, but tread lightly because we don't know what people are going through.
Mm-hmm. And your answer is applicable to every agency head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any entrepreneur,
any,
yeah, and
it's
across,
it's a generic,
across the board.
I would just use her as an example because that is like a quasi government within the government. It's so big, you know what I'm saying? There was a time when the budget for that agency alone was 200 mil. You know what I'm saying? That's significant when you look at comparing it to other entities. I want to thank both of you. What took you so long to bring your better half, my brother?
We had to coordinate when she gonna be here.
Coordinate? I wasn't intimidated by the microphone.
No,
cool.
No, that's
a warrior. You know, there are a lot of people that they talk a big talk, and then you get them and you get them in front of a microphone, and they start backing off. And
no, not this.
I saw that in the legislature. A lot of people just say, "Are you in this? Are you in that?" And then when they come to testify. Two different people.
No,
you know,
not
the setting.
This one.
So that wasn't the case here.
Not at
all. Oh, of course, she told me she worked at a call center, so you know, and she can vacillate between the local twang and the Yankee. You
absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? So we're good. I want to thank both of you for making some time here. Behavioral specialist Tariq McMillan, who's going to be getting back into the classroom in a little bit. Looking forward to that. You thought, or you done with it?
Yeah, I'm gonna be right there.
You're gonna be right over there. So hopefully we have doctors McMillan and Mohammed here in the studio. Looking forward to talking with you again, man.
Absolutely.
I got word that you've been trying to get back on. You know what I'm saying? I heard that. You know, so I'm glad that we made this happen. And happy Easter to you if you're of the faith or whatever and whomever. I know Ramadan going on right now, right? Is Ramadan going on for? Those who are of the Muslim faith. Thank you very much. By the way, let me make this announcement. Today, right, I know we run out of time, so I got to find this real quick. Frandel Gerard said, make sure I get this right. There's a conversation, community listening sessions on St. Croix, and today it's at the Company House at 6 p.m. Up in Christiansten, okay? Wednesday, March 27th. So, the community input and chant is the sponsor for this, okay? So, community listening session today at the Company House. Be good, be safe, talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.